You see, the Christian life is about functioning in the grace of God. That's what it is. We're saved by grace. We function by His grace. Everything from Him, nothing from us. All Christ in us. Remember, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's impossible to live in the context of grace unless we recognize our true state of inadequacy, but yet His adequacy.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lunstead, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today we complete our look at Paul's greeting to the Colossians, and it's here that we'll gain some insight into the Christian walk.
Yes, we will, Dave, and we really need this insight and reminder. So turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, verse 2.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Not every saint is faithful. It's just the reality. Not everyone's faithful. You know, and praise the Lord, if we're faithless, He's faithful, right? Praise the Lord. But here, it's a tremendous statement about what should be said about us in Christ. It doesn't say perfect brethren. It says faithful brethren, right? It says here, a tremendous statement about all that we should be, faithful brethren in Christ. You see, faithfulness speaks of trustworthiness. Those who are faithful are worthy of trust. They are reliable and dependable. And this is concerning in the context of brethren in Christ. And faithfulness is required of servants of the Lord. When God tells you to do something from His word, when He entrusts you with a gift or talent, we are to do it faithfully by His strength. A faithful man keeps his word, and that doesn't mean God might not change the circumstances and where one might not appear to be faithful to slanderers. Like Paul, he made a promise to the Corinthians that he was going to come, but God changed that, and he didn't come. It wasn't that he wasn't faithful. It was that he was faithful to the Lord and following the Lord. But a faithful man trusts in the Lord and does what the Lord asks him to do. Now, God reveals what He wants us to do in every relationship in His word. He reveals what we are to be as husbands and wives. He reveals what we are to be as children, what we are to be as workers or masters of those. He reveals what we are to be towards outsiders. He reveals what we are to be in church. And so then, I believe you know if you're faithful or not. You know, in maybe the spheres I've mentioned, you know, your marriage, your work, raising your children, the fair marriage, or maybe you're not, maybe you weren't, maybe you are. You know if you're faithful to your husband or wife, and you know if you're faithful to the calling which God has called you. Yet some may not know what that calling is. God's a faithful God. He'll reveal it to you if you truly want to know it. You seek His word as silver and gold. You desire to know what He wants you to do, and He'll reveal that to you. You see, God requires us to be faithful. He actually requires that. But the wonderful thing is, to be faithful, that means we got to trust and abide in Him, and then He does it through us. He requires that which He provides. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. We have been given as stewards over things. And God is requiring us to respond in a certain way. And that has to do certainly with the giftings that He's given us. Matthew 24, verse 44. For this reason, you be ready too. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour in which you do not think He will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? And here's the answer to the question. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Doing, right? Doing what he's called him to do. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and shall begin to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day in which he does not expect, and an hour which he does not know, and shall cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Weeping shall be there and gnashing of teeth. If you're not a faithful slave, it may be an evidence you don't know the master. So then, it is required that we're faithful. Matthew 25, I'm not going to read it, but we know about the parable of the talents. What is said? Well done, thou good and faithful slave or servant. Good and faithful. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus mentions the one who is faithful in the little thing, he'll be faithful also in much. You see, either you are faithful or you are not. And if you are in Christ through faith in him, you should be faithful. Paul would speak to the Ephesians as those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, some of those. He spoke of Tychicus as a beloved and faithful minister in the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6, 21. He spoke of Epaphras here in chapter 1, verse 7, as a beloved bondservant who is a faithful servant of Christ. Paul observed his servant, and he's a faithful servant of Christ on your behalf. He had mentioned Tychicus again in Colossians, a beloved and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord. These are people being mentioned by name. Hey, they are faithful servants of the Lord. Peter would call Silvanus, that's Silas, our faithful brother, for so I regard him. 1 Peter 5:12. Hebrews chapter 3, the Lord would testify of Moses that he was faithful in all his house as a servant. Moses was faithful. Hey, a few little spits here and there, some problems, but Moses was faithful, faithful servant. The Apostle Paul said the Lord considered him faithful, putting him into service. 1 Timothy 1:12. Speaking of woman deacons, which is not a leadership position, but as a recognized servant, Paul tells Timothy, they are to be faithful in all things. A strong command, 1 Timothy 3:11. And folks, we should be able to recognize faithful men and teach them that they would teach others. We see that in 2 Timothy 2:2. And all these things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will teach others. That means you can identify them. And by the way, then that means we can be identified whether we're faithful. Are we faithful in what God has called us to do? You might remember we saw in Nehemiah chapter 7 where Nehemiah put Hananiah, the commander of the fortress, in charge of Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man who feared God more than many. A faithful man. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul just kind of brings it all down to a nutshell here. 1 Corinthians 4, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy or faithful. It's required. Folks, we're to be faithful to what the Lord calls us to do. Every one of us should be faithful. Now, sadly, it's not always the case. But I want to encourage you, if you have failed, God's a good God. He's a forgiving God. He's a gracious God, and you can turn and be faithful today by his power and strength, by abiding in him and trusting in him, whether it's in all those areas as the spheres I've mentioned, your marriage and with your kids, raising them. Also, it's Christ that enables us to be faithful. The faithful man is not one who's faithful by pulling up his faithful bootstraps. He's faithful because he's relying on Jesus and obeying his word. You see? And today you can do that. If you find yourself convicted, I have not been faithful in this or that or whatever it might be, forgive me, Lord God, and help me to trust you and step out in faith that I would be a faithful servant for your glory. God's a good God. He's a faithful God. So then, if the Lord was to comment about you by name, would he say you're a faithful servant? So-and-so, would he say that? Will Jesus say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will he say something else? If you need to confess, step out by his power and strength and trust him. Trust the faithful one to faithfully work through you, and he will. Because that's the secret to the faithful, is Jesus. They trust and obey him. And if you trust and obey him, you're going to be faithful. Okay, so back in our passage, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. There's a group of people faithful there, the faithful brethren. And notice he says, in Christ. And I mentioned this earlier. You can't see it in the English, but there are two. En means in a sense in Greek. It means it's a directional pronoun. There's those who are in Colossae, that's the direction they are, and also, or the sphere, and they are also in Christ. Their physical location was Colossae, but their spiritual position was in Christ. And that's what we are if we've trusted in Jesus. Saints and faithful brethren in Christ. This word in Christ describes what it means to be saved. You see, when you repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus Christ, God who took on human flesh and died for your sins and rose from the dead, you are delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Colossians 1:13. You are redeemed. The payment for your sin was paid for by Jesus Christ. It is applied to you, Colossians 1:14. You are baptized or placed into the body of Christ, identified with Christ, Colossians 2:12 and Romans 6. You are set apart or sanctified in Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:2 and 6:1. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, Christ in you. You are in Christ and he is in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 6:19, and Romans 8:11. Once separated by sin, we are now together with him, forgiven. Colossians 2:13. We become his possession, bought by a great price through the precious blood of the Lamb. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. We are united to the very life of Christ. We are in Christ. Romans chapter 6. You see, without Christ, we are in our sins, identified by them. But once we believe in Jesus Christ, trust in him, we are united to him, and we are placed into a relationship with him. We are in Christ. Tremendous reality. We were washed, we were sanctified, we were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God, 1 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin on our behalf. That means he took our sin board in his body, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are saints because we were set apart in Christ. He is holy. We're in Christ. We are forgiven in Christ. So I ask you, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Have you trusted in the Lord? Are you in Christ? Is there a relationship with him through faith? I pray so. So then, we see here, we are to walk in an understanding of our glorious position, who we are in Christ. We are in Christ, we are saints, and we have the opportunity to faithfully serve him. And lastly, from our passage, I believe we need to function and walk in the provision of his grace. That's what we need. We need to function and walk in the provision of his grace. Here's the greeting in the end of verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Very simple salutation. Here we see God's desire for us. It's a common greeting of Paul. It is in every epistle except 1 and 2 Timothy. There are 10 to be exact, he says this, with the phrase grace to you and peace, or then grace and peace in Titus chapter 1. Now, some would say, hey, this is just a standard greeting like hello or, you know, shalom or whatever with no meaning behind it. That's not the truth. Scripture doesn't have no meaning behind it. There is meaning behind it. This is very important. You see here, because on a surface level, certainly it was a greeting that was used in this manner. But here we can be assured in the inspired writing that it is more than just a surface greeting, because all Scripture is profitable, inspired and profitable, right? So then he says here, grace to you and peace from God our Father. And New King James adds in, and Jesus our Lord, a different manuscript family. Some of the other greetings have that, so they add it in there. Ours here has God the Father. So what is grace? Well, the term translated grace, charis, in its most basic form speaks of an unearned gift, unmerited favor, non-meritorious favor. That means you didn't earn it, you didn't do anything to get it, that was freely bestowed as a gift. Never in return for anything done. Never in return. Yet in our scripture, we see that it is also none other than an attribute of the living God. 1 Peter 5:10 speaks of the God of all grace. And the only way we can understand grace is in the context of the God of all grace. Indeed, we see God's unmerited favor towards mankind in the person of Jesus Christ revealed in the scripture. We know the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and John writes that we beheld his glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace. Full of grace. Jesus is full of grace. And that grace was manifest in him coming and dying for our sins. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. The offer is there. a wonderful truth, Titus chapter 2:11. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. You know his unmerited favor toward you, that though he was rich in his glory, he became poor and lived the perfect life and bore your sins in his body on the cross. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his poverty you might become rich, spiritually rich, in salvation, a relationship with the living God. We know that it is God being rich in his great mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even while we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We had nothing to give to him. He made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him, seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order in the ages to come that he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Trophies of his grace forever. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is what God does for sinful man through his Son, Jesus Christ, which man cannot earn, does not deserve, and will not merit. But that grace doesn't stop at the cross. God provides his grace for us to function every day, and it comes in the context of the grace of God, the God of grace, a relationship with him. It's everything from God and nothing from us. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15 that he labored, but he says it's the Lord that did it through me by his grace. 1 Corinthians 15:8, and the last of all, as it were, to one untimely born, speaking of the Lord appearing to Paul. He appeared to me also, for I am the least of the apostles, who is not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. So his grace made him into an apostle, made him who he was, saved man, and says, I labored more than all of them, the other apostles, yet not I, the grace of God with me. Jesus in me, his grace functioning. God's so gracious, he'll work through you. He's gracious. The God of the universe, Jesus Christ in you, you're in Christ. He'll work through you. His grace will function in you for every relationship, for every situation, for everything he has, if you just trust him. We've been given gifts, and thereby they're manifestations of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10-11. In 2 Peter 1:2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. May it be multiplied. Not just added, multiplied. That's God's desire. You see, the Christian life is about functioning in the grace of God. That's what it is. We're saved by grace. We function by his grace. Everything from him, nothing from us. All Christ in us. Remember, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's impossible to live in the context of grace unless we recognize our true state of inadequacy, but yet his adequacy and faithfulness. Not that we are adequate to consider anything that's coming from ourselves, 2 Corinthians 3:5, but our adequacy is from God. It's Christ in us. 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord said to Paul after his petition to get the thorn out, my grace is sufficient. Oh, we whine and moan about everything, and we just want to remember how the Lord's speaking to us through his word. My grace is sufficient. It's going to get you through. It's what you need. It's sufficient. My power is perfected in weakness. Tremendous, wonderful reality. The Christian life is about functioning in the grace of God. Grace to you. His grace to you, more and more and more. His grace to you. That's a good greeting. That's God's desire for us. Grace to you. We need to walk in the provision of his grace. But something else that's wonderful is there's something that happens when we walk in the provision of his grace. He says, grace to you and an upset, worried heart. He says, peace, right? He says, peace. He says, but it's not now, the NIV's kind of hacked this up a little bit. They say grace and peace to you. No, it's really grace to you and peace. That's how it goes, which implies that peace never comes before grace. It's not both of them coming at the same time. It's God's grace, then his peace. You see, when we first had our first encounter with the grace of God and the person of Christ and believed in him, we received his peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. In position, we have peace with God through his grace. We know that he made peace through the blood of his cross. We have peace. There's no enmity between us and God. But along with that positional peace, we have a practical peace, experiential peace, when we abide in the grace of God, when we trust in Christ. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You're relating to the God, Lord. You're walking with him. You're giving him a request. You're sharing it with him. You're supplicating before him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. It says, if there's anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Verse 8, things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. The implication is through his spirit and his indwelling, right? This is peace with us. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. Let it umpire your hearts, is the word. Let God's peace be that which directs you. Grace and peace to you. Now, where does this come from? It doesn't come from the world. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. The world never gives peace. The world gives a lie. It's not peace at all. You go seeking those things to get peace. It's not going to happen. It's a lie. Not as the world gives. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And so where does it come from? What does the scripture say? Grace and peace to you from God our Father. God gives us his peace when we abide in his grace. So let me ask you, are you resting in the grace of God? Are you trusting in the God of grace? Are you experiencing his peace? If not, God's a good God. Turn to him. He'll give it to you. You may need to confess. You may need to refocus, whatever it might be. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. True peace is the result of an encounter with the grace of God in the person of Christ. So then we have the ultimate provision, all we need. We got Jesus. We have everything we need. And it's by grace. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us himself. God's desire, grace to you and peace. So then, what do we really need? Well, the modern day church would say, you need all this stuff. You need this, this, and this, and this. Well, what we really need is Jesus. We need to rely on him and trust in him. We need to walk in the context of how he's gifted us. We need to rest in the position we are and praise him for this glorious position we have in Christ. And we need to rely on his grace, his provision, and we'll experience his peace.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, would you summarize the main points of what we've seen in this greeting?
Absolutely, Dave. Well, what can we learn from a greeting? First of all, we have a grand purpose in Christ, and we need to make his will our will. Secondly, we have a glorious position. We are saints when we are brothers and sisters in Christ, set apart for his work. Third, we have the ultimate provision we need to serve the Lord, his grace and his peace. So walk in it. You see, we are saints who are amply supplied, and thus the question is, will you be faithful? Well, brothers and sisters, that only happens when we trust our gracious Lord, allowing his word to work in our hearts. Are you willing to do that day in and day out? We pray you are.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.